Well, I must say, I'm really jealous. I thought that was, I was the only one that John would encourage in such a way. Man, I'm disappointed. I'm just teasing, of course. I know John was. If there's one word for John, it would be encourager. And before I begin, let me just say this, if I might. I'd take my pastor hat off for just a moment. I usually pride myself, and I was humbled a couple of weeks ago. I usually pride myself at how well I can wear different hats and that I can pastor our people well and hide the emotion and help them walk through things as the Lord gives me strength to do so. And I pride myself on that. But I will say when Diane called me a couple of weeks ago, that hat wasn't on. I was on vacation, sadly, and I wept. I should have been more encouraging to Diane. I've already told her this. I've already apologized. And she said, don't worry about it. But I wept. Why? Because I am John's pastor, but he's been a minister to me for years. He has loved me well. And he's loved others well. Different hat. There has never really been a question as to what I would preach on this day at this funeral for this man. Because about 4 years ago, John let me know what I would preach on this day at this funeral for this man. And I must say that there's a little bit of a sense of anxiety, not because of what I'm going to say. I have every confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But because, you see, John McWilliams, again, had the gift of encouragement. And as Mark has said, every Sunday, after every sermon, he would say to me, that was the best sermon you've ever preached. And it's not that he didn't mean it. It's not that he was disingenuous. In fact, he probably did mean it. But in fact, even when he wasn't there, he would have Diane tell me. Tell Chris that I said it was the best sermon that he's ever preached. And with his hearing having deteriorated so in the last few months, he possibly has not heard a full sermon and who knows how long. So today comes with a little bit of anxiety because today he has perfect hearing. Because he's with his Lord Jesus. But it's not as though I'm preaching for John, for in that he would be disappointed and I would be unfaithful. No, we honor John by turning our eyes and our hearts to the Lord Jesus. And I preach today as I do every time that I get behind this pulpit and as for the glory of God and for our good. And this text that Mark read was indeed one of John's favorites, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Favorite passage of Scripture. And the reason why it was one of his favorite passages of Scripture is because of the wonder of it all. That all of salvation is by grace, that there is not one part of it that you do, that I do, to earn it. It's not of works. Paul says, it's not of works so that no one may boast. There's no room for boasting except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that you can do, nor I can do, to earn that salvation. There's nothing that you can do or I can do to earn that standing before God where God would say, as Mark said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Nothing that we can do to justify ourselves before God. You know, young people voice something. I've heard it a couple of times, even within the past few weeks, from young people. And I think young people voice it. And I think older people think it sometimes, and yet we're afraid to voice it. And that is this, I just want to know that I'm okay. I just want to know that I'm okay. And there's nothing that makes you okay before the Lord except the cross of Christ. And that's a gift. It's a gift. And if you work for a gift and it's no longer a gift, it becomes a wage. If you have to pay back that gift, then it's no longer a gift. It's become a loan or a debt. But the good news is that Jesus paid that debt for those who believe in Him, for those that trust in Him. And that's why Paul says, by grace, through faith, by believing. And it seems so elementary, doesn't it? Through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we might say, is it really that simple? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And that's what turns many people off, isn't it? Because if it's really that simple, then there's nothing that we do to get it. There's nothing that we do to earn it. And that just can't be, we think. But that's exactly what the Scripture teaches us. By faith. By faith, Jesus' perfect righteousness, His work, is credited to your account, to our account, to my account. And that's how you stand before God justified. That's the only way that we are okay before God, by trusting in the Lord Jesus. And that's why this was one of John's favorite verses or passages, because this was his hope. And it's our only hope. And this was his desire for all his family members, for all of his friends, heck, for all of those that he ever came in contact with. If you know John, you know that to be true. He would tell everyone about Jesus. And right behind that, he would tell everybody about Trinity Grace Church. And right behind that, he would tell everybody about his pastor. He would invite everybody that he knew to church to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He even one day used my boys as a hook to get somebody to come to a 30-year-old woman. My boys are 12, 16, and 18. But that's how important it was to John to get people to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And we may say, well, why is it so important? Why is it so important? You see, this text is so beautiful. These three verses that we read, 8, 9, and 10, they're so beautiful because of the context in which they come. Let me put it this way. Okay, so by grace you've been saved through faith. So what? Right? Or from what? Why is that such a big deal anyway? Well, if we go back just a little bit in this chapter, we find this. And you were dead in the trespasses, and since you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. And then it goes on. And you were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. The reason why it's such wonderful and glorious news is because of sin, all mankind is under the wrath of God, the judgment of God, in bondage to sin. And the Scripture even says it this way, at enmity with God. What in the world does that mean? It's not just that mankind is somehow separated from God. That they are. But they are at war with Him. There's a hatred there. And all mankind is under His just judgment, under His wrath, under His curse. And we may at this point say, well, wait a minute, Chris, this is the most depressing memorial service I've ever heard. This isn't encouraging at all, is it? No, that's not encouraging, no. But that's why the good news of the gospel is in fact good news of the gospel. That's why it's good news. Because in the same passage, here we find, actually, I would argue two of the greatest words in all of Scripture. And they're not even very theological words. They are simply these. But God. But God. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead and our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So do you see why this is so glorious? Because that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And it wasn't just simply a spiritual resurrection, but a physical, bodily resurrection from the grave. From death to life. It took place in history, and everything hangs on that. You see, if Jesus rose from the dead, that in fact does change everything, doesn't it? If Jesus rose from the dead, then we ought to listen to every word that comes out of his mouth. If he didn't, who cares? And you may say, wait a minute, that's sacrilegious. Not if he didn't rise from the dead, it's not. Why would we listen to him? But praise God, on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And that same power will raise those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus has been seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly realms. And those in Christ Jesus, those in Christ, having been raised with him, are seated with him. And isn't that the hope? Isn't that our hope? Wasn't that John's hope? You know, Paul, in this passage, he's been talking about the wonder of the gospel. He's been talking about the wonderful reality of the gospel in the present age here on this earth. But here he moves it from this age to the age to come. He moves it from this side of glory to glory. And it's as if Paul is saying, you now know in part the kindness that's shown to you in Christ Jesus. But you don't know what it will be like in the coming ages. You can't fathom the riches that I have for you in glory. It will be then that we'll see just how kind God has been to us. Yes, we enjoy the blessings now. But just wait. But just wait. John knew the present blessings in Christ Jesus. You see, he knew the forgiveness of sin. He'd experienced it. He knew the joy of the Holy Spirit. He experienced it and he exuded it. He knew the sweetness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and he shared it. He knew the presence of the Spirit of God with him, the sweetness of the fellowship of the saints. He knew all of that here. But now, oh, he knows as he's been fully known. And he's looked upon the face of his Savior, the one who died for him. What a glorious day that will be. See, in Christ Jesus, he has heard those words. And in fact, he's heard that glorious invitation. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And it's all by grace. It's all by grace. It's all a gift. And because of God's grace, those same words apply to all those who know the Lord Jesus. To all those who believe the Lord Jesus. And those words that in Christ Jesus have been said to John. And they were said to Jesus by his Father. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And not because of our own work, but because of Jesus. You see, that's grace. By grace. By grace. And John, as any of those in Christ Jesus can confidently say, even he loved this hymn. Even as we're about to sing, when the roll is called up yonder, what does it say? I'll be there. Not because he trusted in his own work. Not because he trusted in his own wit or in his own humor. And he had them, didn't he? not because of his own love for God or his own love for others, not because of his own righteousness, but because of Jesus, because of grace. Because by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. And so when that roll is called up yonder, there are many of us who can say we will be there. But John, present and accounted for because of Jesus. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, what can we say? What can we say to such wonderful news? That if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. It's already been mentioned here this day. And we might say, is it that easy? Is it that simple? And yet all we must do is to look to Jesus Christ. And we say, no, it wasn't easy. But it wasn't our work that accomplished it, but it was your Son, our Lord Jesus, who lived that perfect life in our stead, who died the death that we deserve so that we might live, who conquered sin, who conquered death and the grave and rose again and is now seated at your right hand so that we too might be seated with you in the heavenly places and receive all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, that is great news, and that is news that brings glory and honor to your name. It is news that is good for us, and it is news as it is preached at this memorial. Would honor this man who we remember. So Lord, as we remember John, may we remember in whom John has trusted, and that is you. And as we do, would you comfort our hearts? And may we understand, acknowledge, and realize that it is not for John that we mourn or that we grieve. We do not grieve as those who have no hope. But we have a hope that is everlasting, that is kept in heaven for us, that never perishes, spoils, or fades. So we need not grieve as those who have no hope. For we have hope in you. And not just a hope like the world thinks of hope. Oh, I hope this happens. No. But a hope that is rooted in that which has taken place in history. Because your Son, Jesus Christ, has conquered all his and our enemies. And for that we praise your name. Thank you for these family members and these friends who are here. Would you comfort them? May their visits be sweet, even though we wish we could gather for different reasons. May our fellowship be sweet as we remember your servant and as we bring glory and honor to your name. This we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.